Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to the DSM conference call. Throughout today's presentation, all participants will be in the listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. To register for questions, you may dial star one at any time. If any participant has difficulty in hearing the conference, please press zero zero on your push-button phone. Now, I would like to turn over the call to Mr. Stephen Houghton. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much, Robert. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to this conference call on DSM's results for the third quarter of 2016, which I think you've seen we published earlier this morning. Geraldine Matchett, our CFO and a member of the managing board, is with us this morning to talk you through the results. And after that, of course, she's available to answer your questions. Now, we have until 8:30 this morning, as usual. And as a reminder, I need to point out that today's presentation can contain forward-looking statements. And in that regard, I would like to point you to our disclaimer regarding forward-looking statements as published on our website and in our press releases. I'd now like to hand the call over to Geraldine. Geraldine, please.
Thank you, Steve. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to this call on DSM's Q3 2016 results. Before we get started with the Q&A session, I would like to briefly walk you through some of the key points regarding our results. Now, in summary, we are pleased to announce another strong quarter. Positive momentum continued in both our nutrition and our materials businesses, and good progress has been achieved in delivering our Strategy 2018 ambitions, both in terms of the growth initiatives as well as our efficiency improvements and cost reduction programs. Looking at the overall headline figures, group net sales in the quarter were up to close to 2 billion, supported by a 3% organic growth. Our EBITDA increased 13% to 323 million. Our return on capital employed, or else called ROCE, improved from 7.9% a year ago to 10.6% so far this year. And our net profit was up 38% to 146 million. And if I include the exceptional items, which mainly comprise, again, relating to the IPO of Patheon, the net profit this quarter was even higher at 322 million euros. Now, moving to the businesses and starting with nutrition. Nutrition delivered a strong quarter, supported by higher vitamin prices, all but somewhat offset by one-time costs, resulting in a good EBITDA growth of 8%. This EBITDA progression was achieved on the back of an overall organic sales growth of 5%, and that was supported both by the animal and the human nutrition business. The EBITDA margin continued to progress versus last year at 17.7%, despite costs relating to marketing and sales campaign in human nutrition and to maintenance shutdown costs relating to our vitamin E and vitamin C plants as scheduled. Our animal nutrition saw good growth in premix, carotenoids, and feed enzymes. And while the volume growth was lower this quarter due to the high prior comparative figures, the price mix effect was a positive 5% coming from the higher vitamin and premix prices. In human nutrition, we delivered good organic sales growth of 4% with a solid performance in food and beverage, especially in Asia and Europe, and continued strong volume growth in eye health. Now, moving to our materials businesses, they also continued to perform very well with an EBITDA growth of 16% and a particularly high EBITDA margin of 18.6%. Now, during the quarter, these businesses achieved strong volume growth of 5%, fully driven by the specialty segments. Prices were, however, down year on year due to the low input cost environment, as in previous quarters, resulting in an overall stable sales. The high EBITDA margin I just mentioned can be attributed to a combination of factors, including disciplined margin management, a favorable product mix with stronger growth in our specialty segments, and continued low input costs, as well as the benefit of our efficiency and cost-saving programs that we carried out over the recent years. Finally, as the CFO, I can't end these comments without a couple of points on our cash flow and our balance sheet. Overall, our efforts to increase our cash generation resulted in an operating cash flow of 325 million, which is 25 million higher than the same quarter last year. And for the net debt, it decreased by 400 million during the quarter to 2 billion, reflecting both the good operating cash flow performance and inflows relating to the IPO of Patheon that amounted to 219 million euros in the quarter. To summarize, therefore, all in all, we are pleased with another strong quarter of operational and financial progress in the execution of our strategy 2018. And on the back of these results, which are clearly ahead of our original targets for 2016, our outlook for the full year is maintained and is stated as follows. DSM continues to expect to deliver full year 2016 results ahead of the midterm targets set in its strategy 2018, with a mid-teens EBITDA growth and an increase in ROCE of over 200 basis points. And with that, I would like to open the floor for questions. Operator?
Ladies and gentlemen, we will start the question and answer session now. To be registered for a question of answer or answer, please press star 1 on your telephone. So if you have a question or remark, please press star 1 on your telephone. Go ahead. The first question is from Mr. Hans Verbraken van het Financieel Dagblad. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, Geraldine. I have a question about the vitamin A, of course. Can you tell me more about what has been the reason for the price increase and at which price we are sitting now? Because Feike Sibesma mentioned a price of 5 euro in August or in the first quarter, I don't know exactly. But it has been bettered, but to which level?
Okay, good morning. Thank you for joining the call. Just to be clear, I think you meant probably vitamin E.
The vitamin E, sorry, yes.
Okay, that's fine. So indeed, the vitamin E picture, maybe it's worth just going back a little bit in time. If you remember last year, it was on a declining curve, and at some stage in the autumn, we had a view that it had pretty much reached a trough, and that was below the 5 euro mark. Now, since then, we were proven right in our interpretation of the market, as the vitamin E price then rose quite sharply in the first half of the year. And at the half year in July, on our June numbers, what we were commenting there is be a little bit careful. The vitamin E prices are really much higher now for two reasons. One is more structural, and it has to do with, of course, demand and supply balance and the various players in the market. But there was also the effect of the G20 that was pending in September. And I'm sure you've heard that in order to make the environment more pleasant for the G20, a number of industrial sites were asked to reduce activity, and that had created quite a lot of speculation in the market and probably a bit of a speculative price element. So what we have seen since, and that's the news, if you want, for the third quarter, is that now the G20 is over. What we have seen is the price come down a bit following the sort of G20 being gone and no more speculation around that, and has been stabilized at prices around 750 to 8. Currently, and I'm stating here the spot price on Feedinfo, which, by the way, you know, is the external reference and is not our prices. But what we're seeing now is that it seems to be stabilizing. It's in line with what we were indicating, by the way, 3 months ago. And it appears that the market is reasonably firm. But, you know, it is the spot market out there, and we'll have to see how it evolves from here.
And you have long contracts. Is the price already going in, the new price already going in the contracts?
Very fair question, because that is one of the very important elements, which is that, firstly, we don't sell very much at spot at all, so it goes into our contracts. Now, vitamin E goes primarily into the animal nutrition space, Some goes into human and a little bit in personal care and creams, but the bulk goes into the animal feed. And there we tend to see, if we average out, but of course there's a whole bunch of things, about a 6 months delay. So what we saw is for this year, because of this timing effect, it was actually a negative impact in Q1 and Q2 still versus prior year. So we had comparatively a lesser good time in the first two quarters. And in this quarter, for the first time, if you want, we are starting to see this generally positive environment coming through the contracts and into our results with a positive, and we had indicated at the half year that overall, we believe that the positive environment of vitamins will bring us 20 to 30 million over the semester. And that is
how much?
20 to 30.
Okay.
And the split between Q3 and Q4 is kind of more about a third this quarter and two-thirds the next in the fourth quarter of the year.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Welcome.
The next question is from Mr. Andrew Noel from Bloomberg. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Geraldine and Stephen. If I could start with perhaps the outlook for margins in the fourth quarter. Obviously, there's a raw material tailwind that we're seeing, and your margin does seem quite sort of volatile. But if you could give me some color on if you expect that level to continue into the fourth quarter, that'd be great.
Good morning, Andrew. I'm presuming you're referring here to our materials businesses, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So indeed here, it's worth spending a bit of time on the margin. As we indicate in the press release, at 18.6%, this is a particularly high margin for our materials businesses. But I wouldn't really call it volatile because it's been building, if you want, quarter over quarter. But there are elements in there to be mindful of. One of them is the fact that clearly we are in a low input cost environment still, and that is helping us in margin terms, and the impact of that and related maths that go with it hasn't really changed and is still around 150 basis points. So what we're saying is that this 18.6% would probably, about 150 basis points will probably unwind over time as the environment gets a bit tighter on the input costs. So we'll have to see. Now, we've been flagging that, to be honest, for a few quarters. And the good news is that it hasn't yet transpired. So it also shows that our transformation of the portfolio to a more specialty portfolio is really paying off. Because it's only, it's when you have a good portion of specialty elements that you're able to hold these kind of benefits as long as we have. So that is a positive. Now, there's another element in the margin, which is to do with mix. So what we're seeing is that we've got a nice growth, and you saw a 5% volume growth in our materials business. That is coming predominantly from our specialty segments. And that, of course, from a mix is where we make slightly better margins and therefore is favorable. We believe some of that is partly due to the current market conditions in PA6 polymers that are very soft. However, there's also an element that is structural because we have decided to walk away from some really low profitability volumes and therefore, again, to the transformation of the portfolio, some of that mix effect should be long-lived. So these are, I would say, the two main components that I would highlight here behind the margin of materials.
Okay. And in terms of, would you say that you're running ahead of schedule in terms of the cost savings program? And in terms of where you're getting those savings. I'm picking up some information that there's some work around the periphery of the CBC-DSM partnership. You're decommissioning a polymerization plant in Augusta, for instance, and that wasn't part of the partnership. So I guess my question is there some structural measures that you're doing on the periphery of that partnership, and what should we read into that, if anything?
Okay, two very relevant topics, although somewhat different. So maybe on your first question about how we're doing our cost savings, we're really on track with where we would like to be. Now, if you remember, these are really the efficiency improvement and cost-saving programs that we announced in the Capital Markets Day. We gave a good update at the half year. We'll give another update at the end of the year. But in the meantime, we can really confirm that we are on track with delivering our ambitions there. And that if you look at the run rate level, we should, by the end of 2016, have reached the 90 to 100 million cost-saving run rate by the end of this year, and that is versus 2014. So it's a bit of a formula, but that's how we've been tracking it from the very beginning. And we continue to spend a lot of effort and focus on delivering that because it's essential we get it all the way through the organization. So that's on the programs, if you want. Now, what you probably picked up relating to Chemica Invest, which is our joint venture with CVC, where we carved out in August last year our caprolactam, acrylonitrile, and composite resins businesses.
Mm.
Yeah, so there it is a joint venture, and what they're doing has nothing to do, if you want, with our operational and our cost improvements, etc. They're very much in the lead. Having said that, they have indeed taken the decision to close down a site in the U.S. called Augusta, which was a higher cost site. And given the, it has to be said, tough market conditions out there, we are actually very supportive of that decision. And it does not have any implications for us other than we're supportive of that decision.
Okay. I mean, it's probably a bit inside the baseball. So there's a small DEP plant on site there, but that was still remained within DSM. So I just want that seems to be closing as well.
Yeah. Now, so the main point here is that, you know, we have drawing rights with Chemica Invest, and they have to supply the caprolactam to us. And then it's up to them how to do that. And in this case, they've taken the decision of finding an alternative source for the capro that we need, and that is the big decision. Now, RDEP activities and other activities in the U.S. Are not part of that decision, and that is very much then up to us to decide what we do. Really, at this stage, it's the capro element.
Right. Okay. And I mean, if I may, have a couple. I was just interested in the. I was away when you announced the stevia move into that market by 2018. I'm just interested if you've got time, and there's not too many questions. A timeline of, you know, what happens from here, and you know, and how obviously there's a big, big small player in that market, Evolver. So how you sort of will compete with them, and you know, and just maybe a bit of color on the new omega 3 high purity product that you're launching. You know, I'm wondering how the campaign in the US is going, and if there's a turnaround there at all, any sign of hope, or I mean, are you going to sort of just continue with the promotion program until it brings results, or are you, I just wonder what the strategy might be as it sort of gets longer and longer in terms of trying to push the market there.
Well, maybe I'll start actually with the second one, because that has a link with these Q3 figures. As we indicate, we have been spending a bit more in Q3 on our marketing and sales campaigns, and part of that is to do with indeed this new high concentration omega-3 product, 3C, which we launched, I think it was this week or last week, but very recently. Now, if you remember, we had flagged that we were getting this new technology on stream at our Mulgrave site in Canada. And for us, it's a very important step because it enables us to get into more segments of the omega-3 space. So with these higher concentrations, you can play in a different segment of higher value supplements where you can blend the omega-3 more easily with other ingredients and tends to be a bit more premium. So now what's great is that we're on stream. It also, by the way, has benefits in terms of sourcing. So we are able to source in a broader way and has cost efficiency. So it really wins on, it ticks all the boxes. And it was very nice to see the launch of that take place. And the initial response was very positive at one of the big trade fairs of the industry. So that was one of the elements behind the sales and marketing spend of this quarter. And the other one is our iHealth business, you know, the B2C business that we have, which, by the way, is still growing very, very nicely. And there was some more activity in terms of sales and marketing behind those products, which are products that go straight on the shelf, of course, being B2C. So that's really the background behind the sales and marketing costs. I'll just take the opportunity of the question to mention that, you know, that was broadly an envelope of about $10 million over the semester, of which about two-thirds was this quarter and one-third will be next. But so that's the scale. Now, when it comes to stevia, this is really the space of, you know, the big challenge, the new coal, whatever you want to call it, the new tobacco of health, mm-hmm. which is reducing sugar. And, of course, what's important or interesting with sugar reduction is that it's not only about the sugar, it's also about the texture. And that was one of the things that we explained at our Capital Markets Day in Charleston in September, which is that when you take out sugar out of a product, you don't only have the sweetness effect problem to manage, but you also have a lot of texture challenges. And that has actually been driving an area of good growth for us, which is our hydrocolloids business, and that has been doing very, very well because we are now on product innovation and product development with our clients, helping address these texture challenges which are actually linked to reducing sugar out of products. And so hydrocolloids is an area, and we had the head of our that division, who's based in China, come and explain how that is all panning out in the industry. So stevia is one piece of that space, and we are indeed doing some development on Reb-A and Reb-M and technology there, but it's really early days for us to be specific about it.
Thanks a lot. Sorry to take up a lot of time.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any additional questions, please press star 1 on your telephone. There are no further questions.
Okay, operator, thank you very much indeed. Then I think it's time to wrap things up. Geraldine, would you care to make some closing remarks for us, please?
Yeah, thank you, Steve. Well, in short, our performance year to date in both our EBITDA growth and our ROCE growth is ahead of our midterm targets, and we're making good progress on the execution of our strategy 2018. While the global macroeconomic uncertainties remain, of course, a concern, we maintain our full-year outlook and expect to deliver results ahead of these midterm targets with a mid-teen EBITDA growth and an increase in ROCE of over 200 basis points, which is, of course, the punchline of our press release today. And with that, I thank you for your time and I wish you a very pleasant day.
Thank you very much indeed, Geraldine. Thank you, everyone on the phone. Have a good day, please. Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes the conference call. You may now disconnect your line. Thank you.